First of all, a quick reflection back on last night. Had you ever experienced anything like that before in your career?
I've been involved in games where you've turned up and the referee's made decisions early, probably about 2:30, so your preparation. Well, again, unfortunately, like I say, it was disappointing that we had to call the game off. Half time, I was delighted. I was wondering whether it was going to carry on as such. And then second half, I was delighted the way we responded to the game. So Uwe Rosler would be disappointed that it was called off because winning. But at the end of the day, like you say, it was the safety of the players was most important. And the referee had to make the right decision. It was a correct decision in the end.
Let's just say that sort of main deluge doesn't come down in the second half. Did you feel like there was a point there in that second 45 when your team was getting on top and that you were maybe going to go on and get back into that game?
Well, I was just delighted to go, like I say, I think I said to you last night, I was just delighted to get in only 1-0 down. I think they had 2 or 3 opportunities where Emmy's pulled off some good saves, some poor play by us, giving cheap possession away, and they didn't punish with us. So I would imagine Uwe's half-time talk was saying, hang on, we should be out of sight here as such. So the pleasing thing for us, and I said to the players, look, there's only one goal in it. Made the double substitution, get on the front foot, have a go. And to be fair to the players, they responded well, but we need to be doing it straight from the kick-off, not the start of the second half as such.
Why do you think that was? Was no complacency creeping in, was there? I mean, after a great win against Watford, was it complacency at all? Was it just one of those days? Did you give a bit of credit to Wigan?
The thing I was stressing to the players, it was back-to-back wins. We got the camel off our back in regarding there getting the clean sheet against Watford. Now we want to get back-to-back results. We wanted to get out of the bottom three. That's the most important thing. No, there's no complacency. It was just a case of giving the ball away far too cheaply, making the wrong decisions in the wrong areas. And credit to Wigan. Wigan have got some Premiership players. If anything, Wigan are probably underachieving where they are in the league. You look at some of the players that played against Manchester City in the FA Cup, in the Premier League, and I personally think Uwe will get them going. And they'll get in the playoffs and they'll probably possibly go up this year. I think they've got too much to do to get into the top two for Wigan as such. But there was no complacency for the players. The players were disappointed at half-time, the way they performed, and rightly so. And like we said, we had a few words, put them out second half and have a go. And to be fair, give them a bit of credit, we did do.
Have you had a chance to speak to the ground staff at all and maybe find out what condition the pitch is in?
No, I haven't done. I would imagine they won't be answering the phone because they'll still be working on it. But I've been lucky today. The weather's been a bit kind. It's dry. The sun's been out. No, at the end of the day, today's pitches, they do take a bit of a battering, but they recover pretty quickly. The pleasing thing is they've got like an extra day or so before. It's not as though we're having to play back-to-back day after day sort of on the pitch.
We've had a chance to speak to Damian Martinez today and he's been talking about his form and he's also been talking about how much he wants to stay here and then he's talked to you and he's talked to Arsenal and says he's really dead keen to stay. I mean, how keen are you to keep him here as well?
Yeah, well, I think he showed last night when they got through the back four or when we give the possession away far too easily. He pulled off some good saves, even in them conditions that he kept the ball in. He didn't want as though it was bouncing off him or anything like that. Nothing beats playing. He can go to Arsenal. He can train Monday to Friday. Then he's unfortunately not getting a game on a Saturday. That's what players want to do. They want to train all week and play at 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon. So credit to him. I think, like I say, he's enjoying it. He's getting good experience. I'd rather him not be as busy as he was last night. So I'd like to see the odd game where he's not as busy. But even he found the conditions. Emmy's probably one of the best kickers I've seen as a goalkeeper, but even he was struggling with his kicking last night. He just couldn't get the ball off the ground. So in the end, we were saying, don't throw it down on the floor and kick it straight out of your hands as such. But I'm pleased that he wants to stay. But again, that's down to Arsenal as well.
I was going to ask you about his distribution. I mean, is that an underrated thing for a goalkeeper? We often focus on the saving and, you know, coming for crosses. Distribution as well these days, the way that keepers are sort of rolling it out and sort of plotting what they have to do, is very important, isn't it?
Well, you'll find now is that the distance that these keepers can strike the ball, more so probably from a goal kick as such. You look at the opposition, and I looked at last night, the boy Powell was something like 15, 20 yards deeper than what Roger, because we asked him to stay high line. And for those that don't know, you can't be offside from a goal kick as such. So it's a starting point for them. And you look at Kasper Schmeichel. Kasper Schmeichel at Leicester can kick it from his 6-yard box off the floor to the opposition's 80. So it's a big part in the game as such. Sometimes that more so as well if we're saying to teams as well, and as teams are doing to us, press teams high, stop the keepers from playing it out or rolling it out. If they haven't got much height at the front, you'd think, well, we've got an advantage, as in two centre-halves winning the ball. And then if we can win the second ball, it makes us become more creative.
How well has he dealt with this situation, and has he shown no fear? Because as a young goalkeeper who's not played an awful lot of football, this is still a big club. It might not be Arsenal, but it is a big club in a difficult situation. To replace an experienced goalkeeper like Chris Kirkland, you'd expect a few nerves, but he hasn't really shown any, has he?
Well, I think I've got to give credit to Chris as well, because Chris is obviously disappointed that he's not in the team, but Chris is such a top professional. He's given Emmy lots of advice. He's obviously got Andy Rhodes working with him as well, experienced goalkeeping coach. But Chris has played a big part as well, encouraging him. Chris is disappointed that he's not in the team, like I say. Emmy's got the shirt, and he's got to keep hold of the shirt. And he, like I say, he's getting good experience. He's playing regular football. He's missed that probably match sharpness as such. Because you can train every day, but you have to play in competition, in league form as such. So where you're dealing with bodies around you, you're dealing with set players that are coming in. And credit to him, he's getting better.
Is it still a fluid situation between the two? As in, you know, if his performance drops off at all, the competition is going to remain there? Or do you sort of say, right, now you're our number one? I mean, how are you sort of dealing with this situation?
No, well, what you say is that you want competition in every position. And at this moment in time, we lost Stephen Bywater. Chris Kirkland probably lost that competition with Stephen Bywater gone. Then suddenly we brought Emmy in and it created that competition. But it's, for example, Reader at left back. If Reader doesn't pull his weight, Joe Matter could be in. At the moment, we've got far too many, like I say, injured players in the treatment room. Is that we've just lost that little bit of competition to keep people on the toes. They think, well, if I don't perform, I'm looking over my shoulder, I'll be left out of the team because somebody's willing to grab the shirt. And I keep saying to the players, if you've got the shirt, you've got to keep it.
Is it not just the competition this year that has been hampered? Is it also the stability a little bit? Because it seems like throughout the year, you've had a horrible, you know, whether it's suspensions, injuries, loan play, whatever, you've had to deal with that, you and Dave Jones, all season, haven't you?
Well, that's part and parcel of the football. The last thing we expected was to have, I think we've got three centre-backs in the treatment room, long-term injuries. And we've ended up having to borrow Roger from one club and sign Glenn from an out-of-contract player as such and getting him fit in games as such. So that's been unusual because more often than not, you tend to have a settled back four. Lewis Buxton's been out with hamstring problems and groin problems. Reader's been out with his foot. So that's where the disappointment thing is. With Dave or I, I've never had a settled back four as such.
In terms of the injury situation, how are you looking? Is there any good news there today?
Well, Koki trained today and got through training okay. Joe Matic, obviously, I just felt that last night we just needed an extra defender on the pitch. He was only probably 90% fit, but he's trained fully today, so they'll come in my thoughts for the weekend.
And can you tell us about the role that Kieran Lee's played in the last couple of games and how you've sort of fitted him in there? Because he's a key player in a way, isn't he? The fact that he can play so many different positions.
Well, Kieran's one of them unsung heroes, really. Probably more appreciated by me because you know what the job he can do. His stats show that the distance that he covers running, the ground he covers in the games. He can play wide right, he can tuck him in midfield. He's a footballer, he's got a football intelligence. He keeps the ball, he passes the ball well. But he's one of these that, because he doesn't get in the box and score with a header or score with a shot, sometimes maybe the fans question what he does do. But he's done very, very well for the team in the shape that we've asked him to play. Again, he's not played for 4 months. He's been out with a hip injury. So we're asking a lot of him to keep going. But credit to him, he's a fit lad. Nothing on him. But like I say, he covers the ground, which is good for us.
And you had a couple of guys like that last year, Kieran and Danny Pugh. Is that, you know, with Kieran's injury and with Danny not being here anymore, have you missed sort of that versatility and that kind of player, perhaps?
Well, again, if you play two banks of four, or you play a 4-4-2 or a 4-4-1-1, you need your wide boys to protect your full-backs at times, but when your wide boys get forward, you need your full-backs to be overlapping as well. So we maybe lost that little bit of protection for the full-backs as such. But Kieran, like I say, Kieran's back playing. He's enjoying his football, but I'll put pressure on him because he needs to start contributing now by scoring the odd goal. I was pleased to see Jack McGolmer last night suddenly taking players on and shooting and I'll back any player that does that. The worst thing I will do is not support if we get chance to put cross the ball and we don't cross, they know I'm not happy. And if they've got not shooting opportunity, and it's a simple game. If you get your crosses and shots in. Last night we had, I think, two or three occasions in the first half down the right-hand side, opportunities to put the ball in terrible conditions. You never know what's going to happen, slice off a centre-half or anything like that. But our forwards need to know the ball's coming in. So that was the disappointing, again, that thing from the first half performance. But second half, we got on the front foot and we put crosses in.
Shea came in for Stephen McPhail. Is that a situation, mate, you might have to rotate those guys a little bit during Christmas as well? I mean, they haven't played an awful lot of football before coming to Wednesday, have they?
No, they don't. Again, it's I just felt like that was probably the team to go and get a result against Wigan. We'd watched Wigan three times. They'd played 4-1, 4-1. And last night, Uwe decided to play three at the back, go back to how Owen Coyle was playing. And like I say, they've got good players. We didn't press the ball high enough. We didn't put them under pressure enough. And everything else was self-inflicted. That was a disappointing thing. But the rewarding and pleasing thing is we only went in 1-0 down at half-time. If it had been 2 or 3, maybe the referee would have had an even more difficult decision about calling it off. But it was becoming a bit of a farce in the end.
It felt like going into the game, and I spoke to a couple of fans on my way in, there was a real positive vibe about the place after the Watford win. And it's important to keep that energy up, or maybe to say to the fans, come on, let's keep it going now. We've had the abandoned game, but let's go into this Bournemouth game with that same positive energy.
Of course it is, because our main aim is to get out of the bottom three, and there's still plenty of points to play for. On the back of the Watford performance and the Watford result, you think, well, we've got back-to-back home games. If we could put the same performances in that we'd put in against Leicester. Like I say, I was disappointed with the result against Forest, but the performance was up there. Again, an error that's cost us. But back-to-back games, you're looking 6 points and could shoot you right up this league. And that's, we can only control what we control. We can't control what the other teams want to do. So the onus is on us to get at teams when they come to us. And that's, like I say, that's why I was disappointed with the first half performance.
Do you enjoy times of year like this when you've got a load of games coming up? I mean, it's not much time to actually enjoy Christmas like a lot of people are going to do, but there's loads of action, lots of games to get stuck into, isn't there?
Well, again, I think last night, with it being called off, it probably felt a bit like a win, really. We're not getting any points. But then this morning you wake up and you think, well, you evaluate it and you think, well, how disappointed I was with the first half performance. But there's that many games. Long as we can keep points tally ticking over, be solid, don't gift teams goals. If anybody scores against us, it's got to be a well and truly earned goal. But like I said, the period will go now. People will be looking over the shoulder thinking, hang on a minute, Sheffield Wednesday have just took 6 points out of a possible 9. And that's what the pressure is on the players, is to say, right, once we get out the bottom three, we want to move up the table.
Just a brief word on them. What can you tell us about Bournemouth? What can we expect to see from them?
Well, I work with Eddie and Jason Tindall at Burnley. They'll be high energy side, football inside. They'll play the ball down. I would imagine he'll probably come here 4-1-4-1 against us. I would have thought that at this moment in time they're trying to get a result. So again, it's about who's gets the first goal. So whether they come and have a go at us and sit back and try and hit us on the counter-attack. But like I say, I'm more concerned what we do as long as we get the 3 points on Saturday.
Let me just get a quick word on Eddie then, since you said you work with him. He's a bit of a rarity in that he's a good, highly rated, young English manager. We don't see as many sort of maybe English-British managers coming forward these days. I mean, how highly do you rate him and what he could achieve in the game?
Well, he did a great job at Bournemouth the first time round, and that's why he ended up getting his move to Burnley as such. As it happens, things didn't work out for him in the end there. But it's great to see that young lads that have finished the game and then gone on to do the full badges and got all the coaching qualifications, then they're given the opportunity to manage. Personally, I do think there's a lot of British boys out there that deserve a good chance, but for some reason, the people upstairs don't tend to do that.
Do we enough get a chance?
Do
we enough get a chance these days?
Well, I'd love to think, if you just have to look at how many foreign managers there are in the Premier League, I think that answers the question.